We need a softening of our heart. And that's what I'm praying for, that God would soften my heart to crave and desire the pure milk of the Word. And so A.W. Tozer said, Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's Word. And I don't want to be ignorant of His Word. I want to be following it.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, where we take you to the front lines and behind the scenes of our work around the world. I'm your host, Christy Graham. And this week, we want to take you behind the scenes. We want to let you hear from some of our staff members, but we want to talk about the importance of God's Word. And I want to encourage you that Scripture is alive and active. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that is why at Samaritan's Purse, we start out our day as a staff reading God's Word and praying together in devotions. And so whether you serve at the international headquarters in Boone, North Carolina, or you're serving at a country office in Ukraine, or you're on a DART, our staff starts the day reading God's Word together and praying. We know that God's Word is what equips us to serve Him. And so today, I want to share a devotion that we recently heard by one of our staff members, Randy Bishop. He talks about the importance of reading God's Word for ourselves, and I know it'll challenge you.
So I'd like to start briefly with a look back, and we're going to look at a little bit of the history of the English Bible. So I'd like to take you back 500 years, to a dinner party in England. Okay, so this dinner party, religion is not off the table, not off the discussion table. In fact, it's the main course. And William Tyndale is there. He's a university professor at the time. So he's there, and he's talking about how the Lord has captured his heart with the gospel truths rediscovered essentially in the Reformation, that justification is by faith alone, that we're saved by grace through faith. And he's also sharing about his desire, his one desire, to see the Word of God translated into English that the people can understand and read these gospel truths for themselves. And so one of the guests, a Catholic scholar at the dinner party, says, basically, if what you're saying is going to happen, then actually I'd rather just have the Pope's laws than God's law. And so Tyndale responds, I'm sure his eyes got wide, and he said, I defy the Pope and his laws, because if the Lord wills, if my vision, if the vision that the Lord has given me comes to pass, if the Lord gives me life, if the Lord is willing, then soon the plowboy, the man behind the plow, the farmhand, will know more about God's word than you do, mister. So he basically told him that. And so anyway, Tyndale was kind of a firebrand. He did not get permission to translate the Bible at that time. He personally never did, but he didn't get permission to translate the Bible into English. So he went to Germany. He went to Germany, and he worked on the New Testament. And so in 1526, the first mechanically printed English Bible, English New Testament came to pass, and it was the first New Testament translated directly from the Greek. And so he had that smuggled back into England. And so it was not met with good reception by the leaders, the state and religious leaders. It was burned. That was shocking for the time that they were actually burning. Even in that time, it was shocking. I mean, they burned that Bible. And so for the last decade of Tyndale's life, he was basically in Germany. He was on the run, in hiding, an exile, a refugee. And so in 1536, they had burned the Bible. And in 1536, he was executed for his beliefs, a martyr for Christ and his word. He was strangled at the stake, and then they burned his dead body for good measure. However, Tyndale's work continued. Essentially, after his death, there were translations into English. The full Bible was translated. He had also translated the first half of the Old Testament into Hebrew. And so the translations continued, and then his vision essentially came to pass with the authorized version, the King James Version, in 1611. And his work there is in the King James Bible. About 80-something percent of the translation work that he did made it into the King James. And so some of the phrasing that he had that remains, the renderings into English, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, these have the marks of Tyndale on them still in English. And also Genesis 1:3, let there be light. It's like almost a perfect sentence of what God begins to do in creation. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is plain, simple English, but it's dealing with these lofty theological truths. It's just amazing. And then even another example would be Peter, when he denied Jesus. In Matthew it says, he went out and wept bitterly. And I mean, that speaks to our heart in English. And it's almost impossible to improve on that. I'd cite John Piper's short biography on Tyndale. I mean, it's almost impossible to improve on that. You wouldn't want to say Peter went out and he cried a lot, or Peter went out and he cried hard. No, he went out and wept bitterly. And that English is God's word to us. It hits us powerfully. And so we can be thankful. We can be so thankful for what God did. And anything that Tyndale had was just what God gave him. And we can be so thankful that we have the English Bible, that we're born now in this time, and we have the English Bible. So I would actually like to transition now to talk about, so today, what does all this mean for us today? Well, yes, we can be grateful, and we can be have gratitude that God did this and that we have the English Bible. We have many versions probably at our house. The versions that we have are better than ever. They're more accurate to the Greek. But we have it, and we can be grateful for it and give thanks that we're born in this time and we have that English Bible. And so many other translations have been done in the past couple hundred years, thousands. And we can be thankful for that. But you know what? If our gratitude doesn't lead to action, it's meaningless. We have the Bible. We can read the Bible. But if we don't read the Bible, it might as well be chained up in a medieval monastery in 12th century England and unread and unused. So if we don't read it, it's meaningless. It could be locked up still in Latin. And so today I'm convicted, and I want to share from 1 Peter 2:2, which says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Other translations, some say, long for the pure milk. Others say, crave it, desire it, thirst for it, covet it. We need to desire that. The Bible does me no good if I don't open it, whether on my YouVersion app or on my version here. It doesn't matter if I don't read it. And I need to crave that pure milk of the Word. So that's my prayer for this year. And you know what? Our sinful man, the flesh, the natural man, is going to fight against that. We got a lot of distractions on our phone. We're all busy, and the real problem though is with our heart, and we're going to be distracted. And the real problem is with our heart. We need a softening of our heart, and that's what I'm praying for. That God would soften my heart to crave and desire the pure milk of the Word. And so A.W. Tozer said, Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's word. And I don't want to be ignorant of his word. I want to be following it. It says in Psalm 119, 105, that his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what I want. I want that light in my life. And so I would just, again, let's pray for a renewed desire for his word.
I love what Randy shared. He said, but we can't let the word penetrate our hearts if we don't read it. And what he said really hit me, that we should be craving God's word. And I had to ask myself, do I crave God's word? You know, like I do food, do I rely on it? And I ask you, do you crave God's word? Do you read it for yourself? And I hope this episode that it won't, I don't want to condemn you, but I want to challenge you to pick up your Bible, to read it and follow it, like Randy said. And next, I want you to hear from several of our podcast team members. I love our team. I love working with them, and they challenge me each and every day. And so I hope by hearing their hearts, you'll be encouraged and challenged by them. They all read God's word every day, and that is it's evident in the way that they walk and the way that they live. And so I love that you get to hear from them personally today. First, I want you to hear from Stephen, who is usually in the field as a correspondent. He's in many episodes as he travels often, and he does wonderful interviews. But today, I got to flip the mic and ask him a few questions, and he talked about a scripture that's been really powerful in his life. God's word is our anchor and why we do what we do. And you know, having read God's word, it speaks to us. It is alive and active. In fact, I want to read this real quick. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can convict us. It can encourage us. It can challenge us. And I know for me, when I read God's word, I can read the same scripture, and on a certain day, it will say something totally different because it's alive and active. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to talk to our staff. We wanted people to be able to hear from our podcast team, a little more personal. So you see hard things around the world. Mm-hmm. You've watched war. You've watched death. You've watched sickness. And it's hard and it's heavy.
Yeah.
And I know God's word is what sustains you. Mm-hmm. So will you share, first of all, just the power of God's word and how it gets you through life?
Yeah.
First, and then I want to dig into something that's been powerful in your life.
Yeah. I would say I don't know how people go through life without scripture and without God's promises. I mean, life is hard for anybody, no matter who you are and what you go through. We all have our own unique struggles, our own unique battles. And if we haven't experienced anything devastating, we know that at some point in our lives, we will. That's just part of being in a fallen world on this side of heaven. And the promises of scripture just replay and remind us of the future and the hope that's to come. So, yeah, I've relied on scripture throughout my whole life. I'm so thankful I was raised in a family that had scripture as kind of the core of who we are. Went on to work here, where even every day before we start our work day, we begin with the reading of scripture. And it does. It saturates every fiber of the work that we do. And I think that's why we see miraculous stories that are worth telling on a podcast every time we respond. And so for me, scripture has just over and over and over again proven itself to be true because it is the word of God. It comes directly from him. And we say, oh, I don't have a manual for how to walk through this world or this life. But the truth is we do. Maybe not a specific answer for every question we have, but he's given us everything we need in his word.
And I know our podcast team, we talked about this because we are sharing a devotion on how powerful the word of God is and why Samaritan's Purse tries to get Bibles into everyone's hands that we work with, because we want them to read it for themselves. So it's hard to even pick out one, but do you have a certain verse that you want to share that maybe has been impacting recently? And yeah, maybe share that with the podcast, why it's important and how it's challenged and encouraged you in your walk.
You know, at Samaritan's Purse, we're in the business of responding when people's worlds have completely fallen apart. And so a psalm that I've always read through and loved but never really been able to resonate as closely as I have lately with is Psalm 46. I love this psalm. It was meant to be a song. And what it says, and I'll just read 1 through 11. It's, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And with what we do, just every day, every year at Samaritan's Purse, we're in the business of showing up when the earth has given way, when the mountains have fallen into the heart of the sea, when the mountains quake. But we know that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and we find those promises in his word. I think of the war happening in the Middle East right now. I think of our response to Turkey last year, where earthquakes killed tens of thousands of people, if not more. And for those people, their world had completely fallen apart. But for even those people listening, maybe you're on your way to your job today, and your marriage is falling apart, or you received a diagnosis, or you have a strained relationship, or you're caring for an elderly parent. We all have things that we look up and our entire world has been painted a different color in an instant. And it's sobering. And even for me yesterday, I got a phone call. I had a routine checkup and got a call with some bad news, and have to have surgery, and just praying that it's something that is not super serious, but it is something I have to take care of. And that moment, it does. It feels like the mountains have fallen into the sea when you get those phone calls. But we know that God is ever present, ever faithful in our lives. We know that he's promised good to us, especially for those of us who have given our faith and hope in his son, Jesus. We know that one day he's going to make all things right. And so big or small, whatever that disaster in your own heart looks like today, Psalm 46, it's one that speaks really clearly and loudly to me.
What Stephen talked about was powerful. And I'm sure as he was talking, you could think of a time in your life where your world was crashing down. Your circumstances were challenging. And oftentimes when that happens to me, I want control. I want my circumstances to change. But God often reminds me through his word to stop and be still and know that he is God. This psalm is so comforting, and it's comforting to know that the Lord Almighty is with us. And as believers, we know that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. And I also love this reminder in Philippians 1:29. It says, "For it has been granted to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him." Next, I want you to hear from Lauren, another member of our podcast team, and she talks about a verse that she turns to when she needs to be reminded of who God is.
A verse I love that I just find myself continually going back to, whether it's a season where I'm really seeking wisdom from the Lord or I'm going through a really hard time, is James 4:8. And it's a very succinct, short verse, but there's so much power in it, and it's a promise from the Lord that we can cling to. And it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Just what a comfort this verse is, that no matter what we may be going through, that we can draw near to him, and he promises that he's going to draw near to us. And all we need to do is seek him. I'm just so thankful for his word, that we have this book, this guidance to help us as we live life, and that we're not alone in this, that he comes alongside us and he draws near, no matter what we may be facing. And I'm just so grateful for his love for us, his genuine love that dwells within us.
I love what Lauren shared, and I love that God loves us enough to meet us where we are
and he will draw near. And he dwells within us. Next, I want you to hear from Robinson. Robinson is our audio engineer. He's always behind the scenes, putting together every single episode that you hear. He listens and cleans up our audio and works tirelessly. He has such a servant's heart and an attention to detail, and we could not put out this podcast without him. But as he shares in a minute, he's often in pain. He has a chronic condition that causes so much pain to him. And yet, he is so faithful in God's word, and I'm challenged each and every time I get to talk to Robinson, and I know you'll love hearing what he has to say about God's word.
One practice that has meant a lot to me over the years and means more to me as I get older is immediately following prayer with reading God's word. I often find that he speaks directly to my heart on things that concern me. I was in the hospital recently dealing with a chronic condition that causes me pain and disability. I was hoping God was hearing my prayers. I prayed fervently that morning in the hospital. And so I turned to God's word in anticipation that he was going to speak to me. In Psalm 10:17, "You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry." I knew at that moment he hears me. And later that day, I was worried about what this new worsening condition means to me for the rest of my life. And I was reading Isaiah. Isaiah 46 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." And in those moments of reading scripture, I realize that he does it all. It's not me. He does it all. I can turn to him completely, and he will completely sustain me and carry me and rescue me. He is the God of all comfort.
I just love our podcast team. And I love that you got to hear just a few of their voices and hear their hearts and how they love God's word. So much prayer and scripture reading and surrender to the Lord goes behind each and every episode. And so I love that you get to hear the people that are working behind the scenes to make an episode come out. And as we close, I want to share a few scriptures that I read often. I try at the start of every year, I try to read through the Bible each year. And sometimes I finish. Sometimes it takes me 18 months. Sometimes I get sidetracked and I go somewhere else. But every single time that I open the Word of God, I learn something new, even if I've read it time and time again. And so I love reading God's Word each and every day. I am challenged and encouraged and convicted. But one that I come back to a lot is Isaiah 40. And the entire chapter is wonderful. I encourage you to read the entire thing. But I especially love verses 8, 11, and 12. Verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And then verse 11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollows of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in the basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in the balance?" And these verses are just powerful. But I love verse 8, you know, that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. You know, I'm reminded that God's word is eternal. And that is why at Samaritan's Purse, we, as a staff, we read God's word every day, but we also want to share God's word and share the gospel in everything we do. We know that physical help and aid, such as a feeding program, water, medicine, they're great. They meet an immediate need. But the person will thirst again. They will be hungry again. They will need medicine again. The grass withers and the flowers fade. So anything that we help physically will constantly have a need the next day. But the word of the Lord stands forever. When we share the gospel, that is eternal, and that stands forever. And then verse 11, it hit me years ago when I was a young mom and I had little kids and I was nursing a baby. And I just love the way that it says, he protects, he gathers, he carries, he leads. And I love the picture that it says at the end of the verse, it says, he gently leads those that are nursing. And it, you know, as a young mom, I just loved that picture that he leads me as a mom and he protects me. And the fact that God of the universe, who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, that he would lead me and personally protect me, it changed my life. And I'm so thankful that he is intimately acquainted in all our ways. He will never leave us or forsake us. And God's word is such a gift. And I often get wrapped up in my circumstances or what's happening in my here and now. And God's word helps lift my eyes. It helps take me out of the here and now, beyond to God, who truly has a plan and a hope for my future. And sometimes he answers and he delivers in his own timing. It's not my timing. And so I just want to challenge you to read God's word. And I encourage you to share it with someone, either personally in your life or even with us. Share it with us on the podcast team. We would love to hear from what you learned and heard in God's word. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you have a great and blessed day.